Back with you on our podcast this week, Amy Zielowski joins us, the Water City Councilor. And before we get into anything too deep, the council is back, as they say in hockey, at full strength with the appointment of Kevin Clark last night. Amy, good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year. And yes, back to full strength. It was exciting to make the council whole again yesterday. We had a great batch of applicants. It's such a challenging, you know, I went through that process myself where I was an applicant mm-hmm. and was selected, but it's a whole nother thing to be the one that's going through these amazing applications, realizing how many outstanding community members we have in our city that are willing, even after the last few years, to stand up and say they would participate with us. And what a hard decision, but a group of great candidates, and we're really excited to welcome Kevin onto the council.
He, of course, is a local stockbroker and has also been a member of the Stillwater School Board, and so he ran for mayor, too, so he kind of knows his way around the town a little bit.
He does. I think, you know, all of those things were things that that I really considered as I was looking through the applications. You know, somebody that, you know, maybe had put their name in the hat previously or had been part of another election process. I thought that was, you know, important because I think more so maybe than even some of the recent appointments that council has made, this appointment term is a little bit longer because Councilor Wedlake's term had 2 years left on it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having somebody, we have a longer period, so somebody that's committed and kind of demonstrated that commitment through their involvement, I think, was important.
Very good. So, again, that appointment of Kevin Clark, and he'll be sworn in at the next meeting on Monday. We had
just
a couple of
ground running.
Right, exactly. And he's already kind of said that anyway today, as a matter of fact. We talked with him earlier in the day. Also, a couple of items last night under public hearings that were postponed. Those will be taken up again in April and March, respectively, which took us very quickly to general orders. And a great report and maybe some future good news for our daily bread as far as being able to again go through another round of utility assistance. This partnership that they've had has worked out very well.
It really has, and what a blessing to have a nonprofit in town that was so connected to this part of our community that could receive this aid, was eligible for this aid, coming from the community development block grants. At the time when we saw this opportunity to apply for the CDBG funding for utility and rent assistance, it was such a big number. I worried that we would have challenges getting all of the money distributed, and our Daily Bread just did. I think it just demonstrates their connection to our community that they were able to distribute these funds as quickly as they did, and with just such care and concern and kindness to our community.
Yeah, we've had a couple of rounds of this, and the city manager alluded to the fact there could be another round later this year if approved.
Yes, and I think this demonstrates how deeply COVID has really continues to impact. You know, so many of us have kind of started to return back to some sense of normalcy, but for a lot of families who've lost jobs or, you know, are struggling with sickness or lost family members, you know, the economic impact is still there. And so there is potentially another round of the community development block grant funding from, that's a federal program that the state administers. So I think Mr. McNichol said that there would be maybe $250,000 more potentially available, which would be a great thing for our community and those that need it.
Also, last night, some great news about our airline service here in Stillwater in a couple of different ways. Number one, it's not going to go away. And the other thing is, to help to pay for that a little bit, Oklahoma State is going to step up to the plate a little bit more. And the city obviously participates in this as well to keep our American Airlines service to Stillwater Regional Airport.
Yes. You know, it's such an advantage to our community to be able to fly out of Stillwater, to bring people, fly people into Stillwater, and with the, I guess, excuse my pun, but the turbulence the airline industry right now, American Airlines has come in and said, you know, we want to be here, but we need some support. And it was wonderful that OSU, recognizing what the airline does for them here as well, that they were able to contribute. So basically paying half of that maximum rate guarantee with the city, which is a great, great collaboration and partnership.
And I let that pun slide, by the way, on the turbulence, because I didn't want to make it any more turbulent than it already was. I'll let that one slide as well. So anyway, that's some great news. And again, this will extend through the new fiscal year into 2023.
Yes, it will. I think we've got, the rest is for 2022 and 2023. And then hopefully by then we'll see some, as Paul Pregol from the airport mentioned, you know, that's actually a really good thing because it gives us 2 years where we know American Airlines will be here. We'll have, you know, we have that commitment, which is kind of a wonderful thing because he said he's kind of bracing for a while that maybe they would, that call would come and they would say, you know, we just can't make it work anymore. So to have this 2 years and know that we can continue to plan and continue to build, those are all really good things. And as he mentioned yesterday, you know, the fact that American Airlines is here also opens up eligibility for Stillwater and Stillwater Airport to get additional funds for the airport. So we've seen a lot of expansion and a lot of projects at the airport because American Airlines is here with us.
Yeah, and one of those benefits is going to be a new terminal, which will be built over the next 16 to 24 months. In part because American is staying and because they are here now and have been here. And, again, what's there now is fine, except that it's antiquated, and so we want to just make it better. But that's been on the books for a while to get that done, and now we don't have to worry about that not happening because of this happening.
That's right, and we'll have the federal grants to make that happen. So it is a really good thing.
Now, also, too, last night, conceptual Husband Street Bike Corridor. This is a project that's been looked at for a while from Boomer down to 6th. And the two questions I had were McElroy and Hall of Fame, and those kind of got answered by Monty Carnes last night in the discussion. And people are looking at that going, why do we need a bike corridor? Well, in part, it gets that traffic off of certain other streets to a point. And the other thing it does is that it relieves stress on drivers driving in that area. Because they'll now be able to use the regular routes maybe with more safety as things improve, especially on Duck, and have already improved a little bit on Main Street. I'll let you kind of take it from there.
Sure. So, you know, we've had a lot of conversation with the bike community. Obviously, being on near campus, this area, there's just naturally a lot of pedestrians also, and finding kind of safe passageway for those folks in a connected way so that they, you know, if you're on your bike, you can connect from Boomer down closer to downtown. Those important things, and we're missing some of those connections for multimodal transportation in the community. And we've also seen, you know, with distracted drivers or just drivers, I know as a mom with a new driver, you know, talking to him about, you know, how do you approach a bicycle on the street? What should you be looking for? You know, how do you make them more comfortable? The Husband Street bike corridor, that low stress bike corridor, really opens up a lot of opportunity for people in something else besides a car to travel safely.
And so with that, the opportunity to do some improvements and expansions in that area, again, the two big issues were the two big cross streets, and I believe those got answered some last night.
They did. You know, obviously, we want to make sure that, you know, bikes have that low-stress corridor or pedestrians have that low-stress corridor, but that it's not creating a challenge for the cars in such a way that we're creating another stressor point in a different spot in the system, and that cars understand kind of the new rules of that road. So we looked last night at two different alternatives for those intersections for how they might be signaled differently to support that low stress bike corridor, but also support, you know, car movement and making sure people in cars were not confused about how they would stop and when they needed to stop. I think for the McElroy intersection, we really we looked at kind of a jog in the Husband corridor, and so I think that most of council felt that that was a good option there. The Hall of Fame, I think that one in particular, it's just a very busy street. So finding a good option that maybe looks at signaling that we're looking at across that corridor, or making sure, you know, our goal there is to make sure that cars stop if we've said this is a safe place for bikes to pass. So we looked at a toucan signal, which kind of has some curbs and some restrictions on left-hand turns, and then also kind of a flashing over intersection signal. And I think staff is going to come back to us specifically on the Hall of Fame to kind of help us make that decision. It's been a really, I noted last night, you know, staff has spent time with a consultant to kind of look through this, but they've also a lot of time with the Transportation Steering Committee, which is made up of community members and staff members, and also the stakeholders along the Husband Street corridor. So, you know, this is a lot of places. It's adding stop signs and crosswalks and paint stripes. So it's not, you know, earth-shattering changes in a lot of places, but we want to make sure that businesses and homes along that corridor, that they've been included in this process, they understand what's happening, and they've had an opportunity to give that feedback. And the presentation that we got last night was a product of that long conversation with the community and the steering committee and staff and the consultant. So it was exciting to see all that come to fruition and to see what we could do there to make this impact.
And it will be a little time before any of this is developed, but not that much time. And then the other thing about this is you're going to be hearing more about this as it is discussed and developed. This has been 4 years almost getting to this point, mainly because of projects getting put on hold and COVID-19, and you just name it. There's been a number of factors. But it's going to be nice to see this get done, if in fact it does get done. And it may be in segments. It's probably not going to be all at once. But over this next rest of this decade, I would imagine they'll try to work on finishing this out.
Yes. In fact, you know, I asked Monty Carnes last night if this was expected to kind of be incremental or if we would see this project coming at once. And he said, you know, they're starting to make some of these improvements as they do their pavement management and do roadway improvements. Mm-hmm. But they're also, he expects, you know, once we've kind of approved this, the signage and the striping and some of these different things, that he expects it to release as one project. So hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, and maybe, again, not very far, as I said, down the road. So we'll see. Another issue, and it came up with Monty after we talked about the Husband Street bike corridor, was getting caught up on some deferred maintenance projects. And there's a number of them, sidewalks and drainage and, you know, things around Boomer Lake Dam and things of that nature, and some erosion retrievement. That's a word I didn't know of before. Revetment, I guess, is the way you say that. And I looked it up, and I figured out, well, that's what that means. Okay, and it's a it's a fancy word for taking care of problems with drainage and dealing with erosion. So a number of these things, about $1,125,000 worth, going to get done now, projects that have been needed to be done, but for various reasons have not.
That's right. You know, staff has been, you know, we've been really working hard, even through COVID, to get street projects and sidewalk projects underway, and they've been very busy. You know, we have city staff that does some of that sidewalk, you know, lays down sidewalk and does some of those street repairs and might do some of these drainage projects and things like that, but they are so overwhelmed, and certainly the city has not been immune to staffing issues, just getting people hired and keeping people healthy and getting stuff done as a result of all of those things has been really challenging. So I really commend staff for being able to identify these projects that just need to get done, and putting them out to bid to get them done is the right way to go.
And again, won't be very long on seeing some of these projects happen within this calendar year either. The other thing was the engineering study of Duck between 6th and Hall of Fame. What to do with the future of that street? Is it four lane? Is it three lane? Can you have a bike path? Can you have this? Can you have that? What do we do with sidewalks? How come there aren't sidewalks in certain areas? That traffic study, which will be done by Ghost and Associates here in Stillwater, will answer a lot of those questions.
That's right. You know, on between 12th and 6th and 12th, we Duck went on that road diet where we've got down to three lanes. We've added the bike lanes. And that seems I've at least have gotten really nice feedback from the community appreciating that safe corridor for bikes and that it's really, you know, not impacting the flow of traffic for them there. The question was, you know, as we've looked historically at our form-based code area, which this, you know, from 6th on down, you know, we're starting to move into that area. What mm-hmm. does Duck look like? You know, we've talked about Duck potentially being a boulevard that would include, you know, bikeways. And so we've resurfaced Duck recently, and the question kind of comes up, how do we want to stripe it, and how do we want it to function right now, even if it, you know, at some point gets repurposed into that boulevard if there was funding available for that. And, you know, there's hope for the convention center over by near Eskimo Joe's. And so, you know, that would really impact potentially traffic. And obviously, again, we're right there by campus. And so there are a lot of pedestrians, a lot of kids on scooters, and a lot of kids on bikes. How do we make all of that work mm-hmm. and still move traffic through that area? So having a consultant that does these kinds of traffic studies to understand and be able to model the consequences and benefits and opportunities of striping different ways and looking at different bike paths and sidewalks and things like that really at least gives us some data to help make that decision. I think Mayor Joyce had a good point last night saying, you know, we need the data to help us make that decision, but really then it's, you know, what is our community value? You know, what's most important here with the data that we have?
That's a good point. There's safety and other factors that come into this as well on a narrow four-lane street as it exists right now. And it sounds like an oxymoron, but as most of you know, it does not have a center turn lane. It does not have bike paths per se. And so how do you remedy that situation, or do you? And then you have to look at it for what the future is, because we're not designing and redoing these things for just now. You got to look at it 20, 25, 30 years down the road.
That's right. And that's something I think that's really important to this council, obviously really important to staff. We want to make good decisions, not just for the immediate moment, but, you know, how does this build out into our vision for this area in the future?
Now, we will have a bond election coming up in April, but it will be just one question on the ballot, and that will be the $9 million for bonds to build a new fire station on the west side of town to replace the current fire station at Campus Corner. That building will exist and revert back to Oklahoma State. I think it would be a great spot for a museum. That's just my opinion. But it's dangerous right now to use that building for what it's being used for.
It really is. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity. I would encourage our community members to look up the time projects on the city's website. I think it's just stillwater.org/time. Mm-hmm. There's wonderful videos that the Chief Essery has put together and staff has worked on, giving people information about how the firefighters are really just making it work over there. It's not really safe for them. It's a very old building. It's not built for modern firefighting equipment. You know, we bought this beautiful new fire truck with OSU's help with the ladder on it, and it, you know, doesn't really fit over there. You know, just all those things. And then also our community is growing, and the way our growth patterns, the way we've developed, would make a different, an alternate location better for response times for that fire station as well. So lots and lots of reasons. It's been something that we've talked about as a community, that the fire department has talked about for many, many years, a need that they have. And I think it's time for the community to make this investment back into our community. We have not been a city that has passed these types of bond issues. We just let our last bond issue just finish, you know, and that was a 20-year ago bond. And really, for me, I see so many communities across our state that are using bonds to invest back and build better and get the things done that need to get done. And I would love for Stillwater to be successful in this initiative so that hopefully, you know, we can continue to look at how bonds would enhance our community.
And down the road, that will mean the $3.4 million for the animal welfare facility. As the mayor said last night, we want to make sure we get the fire station passed. And you really can't argue very much with the fact that there are two issues on the ballot. People might want to vote for either one of them. But the one that's important right now is the fire station, and that's the one that will be on the ballot April 5th.
That's right, yeah. And certainly, I mean, the animal shelters and Stillwater Animal Welfare is extremely important as well. I just think, you know, given we've got so much going on with mayoral election and sales tax issues and visitor tax issues, and there's a lot going on. And so I think kind of simplifying the ballot, making sure we've got kind of laser focus on the things that really, really need to get done first is a good approach.
And that issue with the other bond question could very well be on a later ballot this year and or possibly move to next year around the same time, maybe February, maybe April. It's not going to be forgotten, that's for sure. But kudos to those folks down there who do so much with what they have, which, again, in itself is approaching its fifth decade.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, being a university town where there are lots of students who do adopt a lot of different pets, and then often, you know, those pets get left or abandoned or, you know, not cared for in the best way, even just across the community, you know, there's those challenges, and Stillwater Animal Welfare is always there to help educate pet owners, to take those pets in, to keep people safe when there's pets and animals that are out loose. I mean, they serve such a critical role in our community. It's easy to forget, but they have a lot of customers, I guess, that walk through those doors for various reasons. And the building is just falling down. It's just not serving them at all, and or allowing them to serve the number of animals that they actually do serve every year in a good way. So it's definitely an important topic. And again, it's one of those things where, you know, as I've been out in various communities, other communities are doing a lot better on that front. They've got new animal welfare facilities, and they're really able to provide a state-of-the-art service and education component that we just aren't able to do. So I hope that comes back on a ballot soon, and that our community will consider that.
Last thing, and then we'll let Amy go, and that is the repurposing of the area for the Downtown Campus Link Project Plan Review Committee, but adding a new element to this, and that's not far from where we are out here at the radio station on the city's north side. Melissa Reams talked about that last night and kind of marrying all that together.
She did. You know, there's a new opportunity that a tax increment finance support could really help this new opportunity for bringing in a business locally. And so, you know, those are very complicated projects where you've got the tax increment finance. We've got, you know, steering committee that supports us with that. We've got external economic development, law firm that helps us with those projects. And that consulting law firm has suggested that we take our Downtown Campus Link TIF and make an amendment to add in this additional land. And, of course, that will be considered by the the TIF steering committee. So again, having stakeholders, the taxing jurisdictions have representatives on that steering committee in addition to some community members and staff. So really getting all those folks together, looking at this opportunity and the recommendation made by economic development law firm, and kind of moving forward, hopefully, to bring a really exciting business with jobs and economic development to Stillwater.
And you may be hearing more about this and seeing more about it in the coming weeks as well. They can find you on email, and I always let you spell it out because nobody knows how to spell your name except you. I'm just so kidding, true. But you, it is a difficult name.
And so it's Counselor Zielowski, and that is spelled DZIALOWSKI at stillwater.org.
See, I could do it because I got a cheat sheet here, but it just sounds better if she does it and then she stays in practice. You see how that works. It's a public service by the host of this podcast. Anyway, Amy, always good to talk to you, and thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
Great to talk with you, too.